The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you in a little while. The world will no longer see me. But you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. The psalm response, "Let all the earth cry out to God with joy." There is a joy that exists deep inside that is more than just passing happiness. And that joy is able to endure because we're focused on that love of Christ, whom we come to know through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you can imagine these apostles, like Philip, who this is a deacon, Philip, and these other apostles, and they are curing people and expelling demons. And just think of the psalm response. The earth is crying out with joy because the people are witnessing this. And it's giving their attention. And then they're going to talk to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. "We bring this power to you in Jesus Christ, who wants to know you. He's crucified, he's died, he's risen, and he is the one who is doing this in the power of the Spirit. We are but his instruments." They are crying out to God with joy. And St. Peter tells us in the second reading, be sure you're able to give people a reason for your hope. Why do you have hope? And we want that hope to live. In the first reading, we have the sacrament of confirmation. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, so the community in Jerusalem sent down to Samaria Peter and John, and they went there and they found out the information, and then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So from that time on, the apostles, in fulfillment of Christ's will, imparted to the newly baptized by laying on of hands the gift of the Spirit that completes the grace of baptism. So the sacrament of confirmation is essentially a seal that goes with the sacrament of baptism. So confirmation is the seal that completes the baptism. This is confirmare, right? With strength. It's what it's doing. It's strengthening what you've received to unleash it and to live it. You've received this baptism? Okay, we're going to lay hands on you. And that's what Peter and John did. And that's one of the reasons just why the bishop reserves this to himself to impart confirmation. And if any of us priests do it, we must write asking for delegation. That he will delegate us to give confirmation to a baptized Catholic. You know, we have to send in that letter. It's like I have to give proof that this person's baptized. Sometimes people can't find the certificate and they weren't sure of the priest. And then I said, well, I need a picture. Can you find me a picture? Vietnamese refugee, Philippines. My friend decided to take pictures that day and she took pictures of me getting up on my sacraments. And I'm like, I've got to see that. So she shows me the camera. She shows me the pictures. It's amazing. There it is. I need you to sign your name. Here's an affidavit. I need two witnesses. There you go. Refugee camp. And they're just baptizing, confirming, giving Eucharist to thousands who had just escaped Vietnam. That baptism goes on, that's the presence of Christ. So Jesus assures his apostles then that he will not abandon them. Here I think it says, I will not leave you orphans. Other translations will say, you are not going to be desolate. You're not going to be lost. Because he's going to ask the Father to send the Spirit of truth who will remain with them. And we are made for the truth of Christ Jesus, and we receive the Spirit. Every human person is made for the truth. They want the truth. person's made for the truth. And you can see that little children, we can also acknowledge that in our own lives and who we are. We want the truth. We want what's going on. But the Spirit of truth comes to us to show us who Jesus is. And those apostles are bringing Jesus to the world. So as Jesus proclaimed the coming of the kingdom of God, so the disciples proclaimed the risen Jesus, and professing that he is the Christ, the Son of God, baptizing in his name, driving out every illness of body and spirit. That's what they did. And so unclean spirits came out of many possessed people. The truth confronts evil. And the world is lost in multiple clouds of confusion. And some of these clouds of confusion drifted to the church. Still, many yearn for some kind of a way through the maze and the shadows of false light. They want the truth, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. John 1:5. So the apostles were purifying the world of evil through baptism in the gospel. And the life of grace purifies the air we breathe. At the same time, the enemy knows our weak points. The enemy knows where to get you, because he observes all the time. But we have the grace of the Spirit. We have Christ Jesus. So we have that strength to withstand. So the apostles proclaimed the life of grace as they celebrated the Eucharist, as they baptized people, as they anointed them for to receive the Holy Spirit, and as they expelled the evil one. We profess in the Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He is the Lord, third person of the Trinity. He is the giver of life, and we want life. The presence of Jesus remains in the church, though he will ascend. It remains in the church through the liturgy, scriptures, sacraments, and the baptized have peace the world cannot give. And we all live that within the community of faith. So while we are surrounded by the powers of this world that want to conquer their own people or new territories for religious extortion or economic interests, Christ's messengers went everywhere with the aim of bringing Christ to men and women so that they would know that he alone can give true freedom and eternal life through having this faith to give them hope so they could live in love. Today, too, the church's vocation, our calling. Sometimes we'll say, like, the vocation of the church, like, that's very macro church, not micro. So kind of macro, way up there, universal. Maybe that may not apply to me. So just think of it this way. Our calling, our vocation, is evangelization. Whether it is to those in our community, meaning the greater area around here, who have not yet been, quote-unquote, you know, irrigated by the waters of life that we have in the gospel, or to those who have had Christian roots but have kind of drifted away and are in need of new nourishment to bear new fruit and rediscover the beauty and joy of the faith. There's two types of people out there. Are we able to give them a reason for our hope? Can we listen to St. Peter who says, people need hope. Can you tell them why you have hope, why you believe, why you love the Lord? The Holy Spirit gives us the words. May we be open to the Holy Spirit working in our life as we continue to journey through the season of Easter, which is about the resurrected Lord, who will ask his Father to send the Spirit of truth so that we may walk with him.